So, you met a woman in a red coat. Who disappeared?
Do you know that book?
I sold it to someone yesterday.
Then you just dropped everything.
Train tickets.
Where to?
Lisbon. Leaving in 15 minutes.
I would love to be able to do that. You do that often?
No, I've never done anything like that before.
Do you feel as if you wrote the book yourself?
I would have liked to have done. Amadeo de Prada. He talks about everything that's preoccupied me for years.
Who would want to be immortal? Only through death is time a living thing.
Welcome back to another episode of the Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast. My name is David.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Peter.
And tonight we're going to be reviewing the Night Train to Lisbon.
It's funny because I like, I think I smoked a record-breaking amount of cigarettes in one day watching this movie.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Are you like a notch below a chain smoker?
Not normally, you know. Like the most I'll smoke in a chain, like maybe like 3 or 4. But anytime I see like smoking in a movie, especially, like it just gives me that urge, you know. And so I have to like go out and have a smoke.
Okay, so this is a 2013 movie starring Jeremy Irons. I don't know how to say some of these people's names, so I kind of don't even want to try. It's Jack Houston, Martina Chadek,
August Dale, probably Bruno Gans, Lena Olin.
So let's do a little bit of catching up. So what have you guys been up to since the last time?
Not a whole lot. I've been working a lot lately. I think I've worked like 2 weeks in a row, like every day for like 2 weeks in a row. So it's kind of taken like a little bit of a toll. Like I'm a little bit like exhausted, or I've been exhausted lately. So that's the reason why I haven't like been coming to the mountain biking. Yeah. So sorry about that.
But it still is 110 outside. So
yeah.
Or just because you want to work, get some extra cash, or
no? Just everything's like so expensive nowadays, you know, like it's hard to like stay on top of like my, you know, like on top of not just bills, but like living expenses, you know, just like existing, you know, like
it's for sure. Yeah,
43 degrees Celsius, that's 110.
We went to the store and maybe
it's fucking hot.
The cherries were like $11. And I was like, we're not buying cherries then. I'm serious, $11 for cherries? I was like, no.
Yeah.
Get something else. What have you been up to, Peter?
Nothing really, just hang out with the family. Went to go see Blue Beetle. It was pretty horrible. And we saw Barbie.
What movie was it?
We saw Blue Beetle. It was pretty shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, just, I don't even know where the money's going when they make these movies, you know, because just the sets are shit and everything. I really haven't done anything worth talking about, I guess.
I watched a lot of movies with Evelyn, my daughter. We watched Naked Gun.
Nice.
We've been doing some puzzles and stuff. We've been having fun. Today we watched the Ninja Turtle movie at the theaters. And I guess it was a theater movie day or something like that. Did you guys see that?
Oh, it was cheaper today, right? Also?
Yeah, it was $4. I didn't even know that. And I was like, sweet, dude.
If you go to AMC before like noon, it's like $5. Or something like that. It's really cheap also.
We went to Fat Cats. Have you guys been before?
Yeah, no, I've heard of it.
It just opened like this year, I think.
Yeah, they have like a tray in front of your seat, kind of like the old school desks. That like they swivel in front of you so you can eat like a steak or some shit at your chair. Cool. And they recline a little bit more than the AMC ones, so you're almost laying down,
so you could actually fall asleep or just roll over to somebody next to you and say hi.
Yeah, but I don't know how much they cost regularly, but today, yeah, I mean, Evie saw a movie for like $12. It's crazy.
Ninja Turtles was actually pretty good, wasn't it?
It was pretty good. I liked it. Okay, let's get into this movie.
Just a quick note, or just a side story. Me and Peter went out to eat the other night or last night, and I know you told us not to watch any trailers or spoilers or anything for this movie. I didn't, but while we were out at dinner and while you were at the in the bathroom, I tried to pick Jackie's mind because she said she watched the movie with you. And so I was trying to ask her questions about it. And she said she only got 30 or 40 minutes into the movie before she quit. So I was all like, fuck.
You know what's crazy? If someone tells me a movie's good, then I'll like it. If someone tells me it's shit, then I'll probably hate it. I am biased. So, did you hate this movie, Chris?
No, I didn't hate it. I didn't. Yeah.
All right, let's get into this movie.
Okay, so The Night Train to Lisbon is actually based off of a book by the same name. And it follows a character named Raymond Gregorius, a Swiss professor, abandons his lectures and button-down life to embark on a thrilling adventure that will take him on a journey to the very heart of himself.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Where did you get that from?
A Google search of the movie.
Okay.
I mean, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it would be interesting, right?
I'm just kidding. Is that implying that it's not actually interesting?
All right. So let's do first impressions, and then I'll start with it because Peter's is going to be trash. But we actually recorded Twilight Zone episode that we never published because the audio is worse than normal, than our normal horrible audio. And I kind of think that episode that we recorded was similar to this movie. It's kind of just like a man having a midlife crisis. And like a midlife crisis.
So what was that? Almost
like Attack, right?
Yeah, what was that episode, dude?
The movie or the episode from the Twilight Zone, I think it was called Walking Distance. And we might hit that up later at a different time. So this movie, Bill, I felt a lot of ways that he feels, or some of the lines that go through in this movie, I feel at one point in my life or another, I've reflected on them a lot, and just hearing it out loud means a lot to me, I guess. And I've seen this movie lots of times, and I see it's not a perfect movie, and some of the things are silly or stupid in it. And I disagree with a lot of the things that people say in them, but I like watching movies from different perspectives other than mine, you know? So that's kind of my opening thoughts. Let's go with Peter. Go ahead and shit on my movie if you want.
So watching a movie with Jeremy Irons, it's like just a pleasure to hear him speak. You know what I mean? So it was really cool just to have him as the main character, because he talks a lot, and it's like I said, it's like a privilege. It's a little slow, and it drags a little bit, but it's a decent watch. Let's say that it's not a horrible film, but it's not one of my top 10 either, I guess. But yeah, it just drags a little at the beginning, especially.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
Okay, so, you know, when you said that we're going to watch this movie, I never heard of it before. And so when I heard the title Night Train to Lisbon, I thought, you know, I was thinking maybe something along the lines of, you know, what's that movie with the guy that's trying to solve the mystery on the train?
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be something like that, you know? The whole movie was going to take place on a train. And when you hear the title, you know, Night Train to Lisbon, it almost sounds like really romantic, you know? So I just had this like assumption about the movie, you know, that was not at all like what I saw. And when I first started watching the movie, you know, it caught my attention because of in the first few scenes, you know, like you hear him reading these lines from this movie. And I thought, okay, so this might be the movie. This is going to be like a really thought out, like thought provoking philosophical movie, you know? And then it kind of switches gears and turns into like this kind of like mystery, like historic, like, or like, you know, kind of past tense, like story unraveling, like type of almost like an autobiography or some shit, you know? And so it was kind of all over the place for me, but I really liked the, kind of like how David was saying, it brings up a lot of themes, you know, a lot of ideas, and a lot of them are like really thought provoking, you know, and I love that. So it kind of satisfied my hunger for that, you know?
So David, did you read the book?
No, I haven't read it yet. I'll get my hands on it. I don't know if you guys have gotten it yet, but I pick a lot of movies that are like kind of like moody or like kind of slow. And I honestly watch movies after my kid falls asleep. You know what I mean? So it's already nighttime and stuff. And I'll try not to do that in the future. I'll pick an action movie or something next time. But I almost put this movie up a couple of times over the last, I don't know how long we've been doing this podcast, over a year now for sure.
No, yeah, from my first impression, it's not a complaint. It's just the first impression.
I know, but this is a like a big, like I like this movie and I can see why other people may or may not like it. But then I watched it again and I was like, man, it's good. So I was like, I'm putting it on. And I watched it again for the movie and I liked it more. And then I don't know, I like it a lot. So we'll just go ahead and jump into best lines of the movie. We'll go with Chris. What was your favorite line from the movie, if you have one?
Shit, I didn't write anything down. So I'm just going to try to like paraphrase like what they said in the movie. Maybe you guys can correct me. But there's a scene in the movie when Jeremy Irons' character, I think his name is Raymond, he's having dinner with the optometrist. I don't remember her name. And he says, I think he's reading a line. Oh, no, he was remembering a line that him and his ex-wife were talking about at a party. And he says to the optometrist that in literature, the grass is always greener than it is in real life, or something to that effect. And, you know, he kind of goes on to talk about like what he meant by it, you know, like a little bit. And I don't know, that line kind of stood out for me, you know, because it's true, you know, like when we read something, like it almost hits different, you know, compared to like real life, you know, what we experience real life and all the time, you know, and like we go out and we see like people and things and nature and all this, and we just think of it as normal, you know, we don't really quote unquote stop to smell the roses, you know. And
so what was the quote, like something like the grass is greener or something like that,
like in literature, like grass is always greener, basically as it's being described in books, you know, like it's always greener, the way to describe it compared to real life grass, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it has like a whole like meaning behind it, you know. Pretty much, I don't know, my interpretation was that like real life can be like disappointing a lot of the times, you know, And what we experience.
I think I found it. I think it says the fields are greener in their description than in their actual greenness.
Yeah.
That's where he ruins the party or whatever.
Yeah.
And then and somebody said...
No, so he doesn't say it. Someone else reads it. Oh, his wife. Right. But then he says, no one, only if a couple of people actually know what it means. And then she says... And like, I guess you're one of the select few or the privileged few, whatever.
Yeah.
To start the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, Chris, what was your worst line? Do you have a worst line?
Yeah, I do. So it wasn't an actual like worst line. Like it wasn't a bad piece of dialogue or anything, but it was funny almost, you know, it was funny, but it was an insult at the same time.
I think and, I have the same worst line as you.
So when Jeremy Irons leaves, you know, after he leaves, and it's right at the beginning, and his coworker Kagi, I think his name is, he goes into the classroom, and all the students are, you know, they're acting out, you know, they're, you know, acting wild and shit because the teacher's not there. And he's like, everybody quiet down. Like, where's Jeremy Irons? And he's all, and one of the girls, students, she says, he's not here. And he was with a woman. And my favorite line comes from Kagi. And he says, he just says,
this is simply, your worst line, right? This is your worst line.
Yeah. And he simply says, impossible. I'm all like, it was hilarious, you know, because like, you know, later
aliens,
on,
she didn't say aliens came down and abducted him. Yeah. It's like, it's just a woman. Impossible. Okay.
Yeah, that's my worst line too, because like it's not impossible.
Right? All right, Chris, what you're saying later on what?
Well, I'm just saying that later on, like Jeremy Irons, he like literally describes himself as boring, you know, and his wife left him because he was boring. So it probably wasn't, you know, that much of a stretch to say that he's not that popular with ladies, you know? So maybe this Kagi knew something that the audience doesn't, you know, like this guy will never ever find another woman or something like that, you know? But it was just something funny, you know, because you don't really, I don't know, like people make jokes like that all the time. Like, oh, like you'll never fucking find a girlfriend, or like you're not fucking that great with the ladies, or some bullshit like that, you know. But in this movie, it just stood out because everything else is so like deep and meaningful, you know.
Yeah, I didn't take it so much as like a he's not a ladies man. I took it as like a, he wouldn't just run off and leave his responsibilities, you know what I mean? But yeah. I never thought of it like that. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So that's your best and worst. Peter, you're up.
Yeah, I'll start with the worst because it's already there. But maybe it's a cultural difference. Maybe, you know, because English is obviously not his first language, you know? But like, it's not impossible to have another female character that he was there with, I guess. But that's like really nitpicky, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I was like, it's like hearing inconceivable. Right? <Not
that far. laughs> Okay. All right.
But that's really nitpicking. There's a lot of good lines in this film. My favorite is at the end. When she's telling you, she says, why don't you just stay? You know, because she wants him to stay and she's not professing her love for him, but she wants him around, you know, for the possibility of what may come. But she just said it like so, like lovingly, and I don't know. I just like that line, and they're all.
I thought it was a horrible ending.
It's one of my favorite endings.
Yeah, I liked it because you could just
like she wants. You know, he stays too, right? You know, he stays.
I hope so, I guess.
He better fucking stay. Like, what's the point of the movie if he didn't change his life at the end of it? But you don't like happy endings in general, right, Chris?
Well, I just thought I didn't mind the fact, you know, that she, you know, wants this change for him. You know, she wants this new life for him. And so she asked him to, like, you know, just embrace it, you know, and like join her in this, in a new adventure in life, you know. But the fact that it ends without him, like without us finding out, like how,
what it's left ambiguous.
Yeah.
I think that's your favorite type of ending, though, isn't it, David?
Yeah, I wouldn't have hated it if it wasn't ambiguous, but I know that he stayed, though, you know. But I can't see anyone saying like he didn't stay. Would you guys think that he wouldn't have stayed? Oh no. But all right, so Peter, that was your best and worst lines.
Yep.
All right. So I'll go with my worst line first. It's on the date when he's all like feeling sorry for himself and he's like, "See, I told you. Boring." And I'm just like, oh my god, like I want to smack him, you know what I mean? Just like, dude, that's not attractive, you know what I mean? You know what part I'm talking about, right? Where he doesn't want to dance.
Yeah, whatever. But he's not a ladies man, you know.
I know, but like that's the last thing you want to do is hear someone whining on their on a date with them, you know what I mean? I don't know. That's my worst line.
I don't think that would be anybody else's worst line. At all.
Okay. All right. So my best line's almost a paragraph. It's when he's getting his glasses and it puts the narrative of him reading the book. When she puts the glasses on him and it says, "The decisive moments of life when its direction changes forever are not always marked by loud and shrill dramatics. In truth, the dramatic moments of a life determining experience are often unbelievably low key. When it unfolds its revolutionary effect and ensures that a life is revealed in a brand new light, it does that silently. And in this wonderful silence resides its special nobility." I'm a pretty simple dude. I read comic books and stuff. So whenever something like this comes up, which might be lowbrow to a lot of other people, it rings true to me. You know what I mean? I remember, for instance, like lots of points in my life, important things.
Yeah, did something pop up when you heard that line?
Yeah, when I found out I was going to be a father, I remember that. And like, just like taking a walk by myself. And I actually went hunting with one of my friends. We're going to go shoot rabbits or something. And I didn't want to kill anything. I remember I was like, I'm not going to shoot anything today. I'm just going to, you know what I mean? It was, and I was by myself and he was walking off by himself. And I just like sat there and had this like feeling that changed inside of me. That's what I thought about that. And I've had other moments in my life where I've thought of stuff like that. Quick funny story about, because then that part, that's when she's putting the glasses on him, you know, when they're like made or whatever. I was getting an eye exam like this year and I tried having like a deep conversation with my optometrist hoping that she watched this movie, you know. And then I remember her just being like, "Man, I got so wasted last night. It was crazy." And I was just like, oh, damn it. All right. So that was my best line and worst line.
David's like, everything is in focus.
All right, Peter, we're going to play the game. Do you have a line?
Yes, I do. It's going to be like a really easy one.
This is the part of every podcast where we're going to play a game. Peter's going to quote a line from a blockbuster movie, and Chris and I are going to try to guess where this line came from. And you, the audience, can play along with us. That's the best I've said it so far, and I kind of messed up a little bit. All right, Peter.
All right, I hope we didn't do this one already. All right, here we go. Good morning. And in case I don't see you, afternoon, good evening, and good night. Good morning.
You got this one, right, Chris?
And in case I don't see ya, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Oh my God, Chris.
I don't know. Like, words are just like.
Can you try to say it? Try to say it like
you try to say it like a fear.
I thought, okay.
Because I hate him, actually.
Good morning. In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Yep.
That did not make a difference at all.
What is it, though?
The Truman Show. Chris, yeah, good
I was
Lord,
thinking that,
man.
Too.
Oh, man. You should have just thrown it out.
Yeah.
That is a
you can't
great
see
movie.
Jim Carrey do that? You can't see him?
Yeah. Like, in my head, like, I was picturing, like, somebody, like, on camera, you know? And I was thinking, like, either The Truman Show or, like, Anchorman or some shit like that.
Yeah, you gotta go with your gut. You could just, yeah, you just gotta.
Yeah.
All right,
maybe,
so
maybe it's because you're on the spot, Chris. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what's bothering you. Okay. All right. So at this point in the podcast, we're going to jump to the best scenes. I think Peter's turn. What's your favorite scene of this movie? And why?
Okay. So my best scene was kind of towards the beginning of the movie. It's when he actually jumps on the train and he decides he's going to actually go for it, you know? And it's so, like, just slow and calm, and it's not even going fast, you know what I mean? But he, like, gets his mind together, and he just jumps, and he knows he's going to go on the adventure, which is all against his routine, I guess. Kind of like Bilbo Baggins running down to get with the dwarves, you know, on The Hobbit.
Yeah,
I'm going on an adventure, but yeah, that was my favorite scene. It was probably like the most action of the whole movie too.
Oh my God! Did you think this was going to be an action movie?
No, or? I'm just messing.
Okay.
I don't hate the movie. I just thought it was funny.
The bike accident was probably the most action. Oh no, there was some action. Some people had guns pointed at them. There was a bike accident. There was fingers getting smashed.
Yeah.
All right, Peter. So why was it your favorite though? Just because he's a good actor, or?
Oh, well, the shot was done well, and you could see him, like, the turmoil in his mind before he jumps in the train. But I was like, okay, it's moving now, and like, you know what I mean? I guess it sounds worse than how I'm saying it, I guess, but. But I was glad that he took the chance and he jumped on the train.
That's all what right. I'm
trying to say. Even though everybody saw it coming, you know, it was nonetheless.
Do you guys think of that line or that scene, Chris, before we move on?
No, it was a good scene, you know. Like, I didn't really, like, count it as that memorable because without it, you know, like, you obviously know he's going to jump on the train, or, you know, hence the name of the movie.
All right. I liked it. Jeremy Irons, you can see him thinking. He's such a good actor. All right, let's jump to Peter's worst scene of this movie.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think Jackie didn't like it? Because it's just a boring movie?
Yeah, and it's got, like, some blasphemous stuff in it, too.
Okay. We'll get into that, I'm sure.
Okay, my worst scene. My worst scene was when Melanie was, like, drooling all over Amadeo, like, in front of her boyfriend. That was like when she first met him, and she was all crest in his face and shit. That was my worst scene, just because it was despicable, I guess, in front of her boyfriend. Yeah, but that's not. It's not like horrible shooting or unrealistic or anything like that. I just didn't like it, I guess. Like, it was shot well and it made sense for the film. I just didn't like it just because it was like, yeah.
Yeah. And
what am I trying to say, Chris? What am I trying to say?
That's,
like,
Yeah, that's something that's relatable, you know. Like jealousy is a real thing in the world, you know. And you know, it's and unless you've experienced for yourself, which I'm pretty sure like 90% of like humans, you know, have felt jealousy at one point in their life, you know, it's an awful feeling, you know. And you know, anything or anybody that has to do with it, you know, whether it's being done to you or like being caused by somebody, it, you know, it creates just this you know, cascading like terrible feeling in you, you know, that you just can't shake. It's almost like a virus or something, you know.
Yeah, it was the movie scene was shot well. It made sense. It kind of had to have it in it for the betrayal of the friends, but it just made me hate the character or the
I
characters
get it.
after watching
That's
it.
cool. All right. So that was your best and worst scene. Let's jump to Chris. Chris, what was your best scene of the movie and why?
Okay, so you're all gonna call me stupid. And I get it, you know, like it's not really that memorable like in the movie, but I really like the scene in the very beginning when he's playing chess with himself right before bedtime. And to me, that was the most relatable real life experience, you know, that was portrayed in the movie. Everything else after that, I just couldn't really, you know, as far as like the decision making or the actions or the, you know, the war, you know, like the, or not the war, but the, you know,
Rebellion.
the rebellion. Yeah, like, you know, I've never experienced anything like that, you know, like I've never like, you know, I guess, you know, some people would consider like what we're going through in America right now, like as a like maybe as
Well,
a fascist
yeah.
regime, you know, like
Or a civil war almost.
yeah, you know, so you know, there's some aspects about it that are kind of relatable or like but yeah, like just I never like came to a point in my life where I'm gonna like jump on a train, or I'm gonna jump town, or I'm gonna move to, you know, another part of the world and start my life over again, you know? Like
But
everything after that begins.
wouldn't that be fucking cool though, just to jump on a train and just go chase some
I mean,
girl
yeah,
that like left her jacket on, you know, like on the floor or in
yeah.
like that'd be fucking cool, you know?
I was just gonna say, like, yeah, like I mean, and honestly, like I have thought about that before, you know, like it's tempting, you know, it's appetizing, you know, to like especially like for a lot of people out there, you know, who look at their life and they say, where did I spend the last like 10, 15 years, you know, like what have I done with my life, you know, had these like introspective like thoughts and, you know, and ideas in their head and thought like, you know what, I'm just gonna try something totally different. I'm gonna like change my life. I'm gonna like move somewhere. I'm gonna like, you know, be someone new. And it just doesn't seem real to me, you know, like especially like me, you know, because like I have kids, you know, like there's no fucking way like I can actually do that.
Like if you were him and you didn't have any kids and you're single, you know, and you had those train tickets in your hand, would you do it or no?
I like to think that I would have, you know, but
Yeah. I'm not talking
I
about like
mean,
moving, you know, and uprooting your life, but just for the adventure. Would you do
fuck yeah. I already have
it,
plans for like when my kids, the day
Holy
she's
shit.
moving out. You know what I mean? For reals, I do. But I like one of the things that I believe is that he was caring for her well-being. I never thought he was sexually attracted to her. I
Yeah,
mean, he might have.
I'm not talking about like a romantic thing. I'm just like
Yeah, but I think
just
the
the adventure of
reason
itself.
I think the reason he left the classroom was because he was afraid that she was going to jump off the bridge, and he jumped on the because he didn't go into this like philosophical study of his entire life until after he was already sitting on the train, I believe, at least. I've seen it a lot, though. Mm-hmm. But I think he was just afraid that she was going to harm herself. So he jumps on the, like, I don't know what he was thinking. Obviously, we don't know what he was thinking. But once he's on the train, he's reading this, and later on he says, I would like to have written it myself. It's what I've preoccupied my whole life with, what he's written or whatever. But and like most people don't completely change their lives, but it happens. I know lots of people. I don't know. They have balls, dude. That's some scary shit, changing drastic things. I was at the gas station. I was talking to this lady and her daughter that they had a U-Haul trailer. And I was like, oh, you guys moving? They're like, yeah, we're moving to Pennsylvania. I'm like, do you guys have family over there? And she's like, nope, we just want to go check it out. It was just like, damn, dude, like, cool. You know what I mean? Like, I would never be able to do that. All right, so that was your favorite scene, Chris. What about your, do you have a worst scene?
The ending, yeah.
Just because it's ambiguous? Is that the only reason?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like I would have liked a little bit of like closure, you know, because like you know, like a moody, depressive, like cynical, like type of person. I feel like he just went back to his normal life.
Oh my God, Chris.
Okay. I mean, like the probability of it is probably higher than not. You know, he probably moved back and I don't know, like.
He said he would come back to visit, you know, like he said that prior to.
Yeah, he did. He's got this beautiful woman standing there asking him to stay, though. I don't see him saying no, though. You know?
Yeah,
I don't. He doesn't.
Hopefully, he didn't. Hopefully, he didn't.
There's no way
in hell. Not stay, I guess.
But this is a fictional character, so.
So why do you think? Well, why do you like the ending, David?
It's actually my best scene. A big part of why I love this movie in general is because it's a beautiful movie, right? It's a lot of the places that they shoot are beautiful and different. And some of the stories kind of weak in some places, but I love seeing new places. Like pictures or film or in person, so that kind of gets me a lot. And that scene's really beautiful, and the way she looks like scared to even ask him to stay the first time she says it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the second time it doesn't even show her say, it's like a pan out shot and then just beautiful music, and it's the end. I think it's a good ending. I like it a lot. I don't have a worst scene, so let's jump that. I think that's everyone's best and worst scenes.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll jump into the deep dive.
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to add like one more like favorite scene or multiple favorite scenes. And that was pretty much when anybody like lit a cigarette. And they actually like explain it in the movie. They said, because the optometrist like, goes up to Jeremy Irons and she's all like, why did you give him a cigarette? I'm like, and he's all like, because he asked for it. They're all like, but don't you know it'll kill him? He's all like, why would you deny him that pleasure?
Yeah,
he describes it as a pleasure, you know. I don't know, like I almost, like when I started smoking, like I did it as a way to like relieve stress and, you know, like emotional like instability, you know. And as I started like smoking more and more, you know, like I don't know, it just almost became as like, I know I shouldn't say it, like especially to the public, but like it's almost like a pastime, you know.
Yeah, David, you got, I feel like, okay, I should say something about the bad side effects of smoking.
I don't know. You go ahead. You know.
No, I only smoke around you guys. And that's like three cigars a year. You know, so it's But yeah, I can't even imagine paying for the cigarettes because it's gonna be expensive as hell.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it though. I enjoy the hell out of a good cigar. It relaxes the shit out of me.
But that's, I can't.
That's like $14 a pot, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't had a beer since last November, and I don't think I'll smoke again, probably ever, just because I'm such a health nut. I'm like, and I'm just a, I don't know, but
yeah, I, like,
but my spouse, she smokes like a chimney, you know, so like, like at the same time, like I respect everyone's, it's your life, dude, you do it whatever you want. You only got one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, but when my kid grows up, I'll probably whip her ass if I see her smoking. All right. Anything else before we move on to the double D segment of this podcast?
No, I'm good.
I think Chris is going to be doing the Rollies and 40s section of the episode by himself from now on, huh? All right. So what, do you want to do a shootout for Marlboro Lights or anything, Chris?
I do not smoke that trash.
Aren't those expensive as shit?
No, Marlboros are only like $7-$8 a pack.
What do you smoke and how much are they?
I smoke American Spirits, and I'm not going to say anything like that compares to another cigarette, because what they are technically, you know, some would say like better than like these other low brand or like popular brand like cigarettes, you know, whatever, but they cost a little bit more. And so they're like $12 a pack.
All right. So double D segment, I have a feeling Peter's going to have like one sentence in this. So I'll let him go first.
Okay. So I think I have two sentences. All right. So a couple of things. I know we talked about the last scene, the best scene, David and my best scene. Actually, that wasn't my best scene. It was David's best scene. But when she says, why don't you just stay? You know, there was no like real romance between the two of them, right? Like real romance. There was no kissing, no even touching really, right? Between the two of them?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Was there?
I think you're right. There was an attraction between them, but there wasn't a...
Well, I think that's why I like that scene too, is because that's the beginning of the relationship, if it moved in that direction. And there's not, like, I don't know any other movie that... Well, I'm sure there's some out there, but I don't know any other movie that where they have, like, a romantic film with two people and it shows nothing until, like, the last second. You know what I mean? Other than just the attraction. Maybe I'm completely wrong with it. I don't know if you guys can name like one off the top of your head. That's another reason why I like the end scene. And then this is kind of contradictory to most of the movie itself, but all right. So the main actor, Gregory, is that his name? No, Raymond, right?
Yeah.
So he's like infatuated with this book and Amadeo's life, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And like the prospect of the new town and everything and just uprooting and going somewhere else, right? He followed this lady to this town, right? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he just got divorced and moved out like 5 years prior, right? So like he just did that a handful of years before this event even happened.
Okay.
So I don't know how he's like in such a routine and so like lifeless even after he just uprooted and took off even 5 years.
Yeah, you think that's a short amount of time?
Well, what I'm trying to say is like, what was stopping him? Was it the depression of his divorce maybe? Because like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what was stopping him previously if he just did it. Just like 5 years before. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a problem with that though?
No, yeah. I was just curious why he, like, what he was waiting for his life to start over, you know?
I don't think, well, I said it twice already, I think, but I think him jumping on the train has nothing to do with the book. I think it's just her well-being. I think if he was married, he might have still jumped on the train. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. At the end of the movie, like, we were all saying, we don't even know if he stays, you know what I mean? So, Peter, anything else in your deep dive?
Okay, two more things real quick. One is the moment that they started playing chess when he was in the new town or new city and he was following that guy and he goes into that like chess room.
Yeah.
I wanted him to like play for like at least 5 minutes, right? Like he finally found somebody to play with. I thought he could just enjoy himself for like 5 minutes. He didn't even get like one move. That sucked. But am I wrong? Were you guys hoping that he could play for at least a minute or something? Would have been nice, right?
Like a
friend or something. Just funny because, like, I guess I didn't see him as like a friendless loser, like with zero social life before he moved on the train. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. I think I'm jumping to conclusions maybe. But like it was cool just to see him get excited, like, oh okay, I'm gonna, you know. And then the last thing, I don't wanna touch too much upon it, but I did not enjoy like the just the blasphemous tone of how God sucks pretty much of the movie. But that's all I got.
Okay. Anything on the chess or God bashing, Chris?
Yeah, I'm gonna go into that in my deep dive, so I'll save it.
Go ahead and jump in, dude.
The most significant parts about this movie, like, were the philosophical moments, and that's what really stuck out to me. So I kind of want to like do my deep dive on that part of the movie, like the whole history of like the revolution. And the politics and the fascist regime, the love triangle and all this shit, like, you know, it's...
takes a backseat to the rest of it.
Yeah, I feel like it, you know? Maybe me it's too. Just me.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to watch that movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, it's not as good as acting, and it's... kind of like a melodrama or a soap opera type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not trying to bash or nothing. It's just not what I watch, really.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people that go into this movie, and I'm just going to like say this right now. I should have said this at the beginning. But if you're going to watch this movie, please watch it with subtitles. Because the first time I watched it, I just tried to understand everybody, not realizing that there were a lot of heavy accents in the movie. And so I didn't really catch all the lines of the movie. And some of them are kind of important, you know? And if you're not good with accents, I guess, then maybe you're going to miss something. And, but this one, like it, you know, like I was saying, like it brings up a lot of, you know, ideas, you know, when it comes to like, well, it brings up a lot of subject matter. So
was there any one like in specific that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, obviously, like, God and religion, theology, you know, it's...
anything kinda... else that you... I'm just kidding.
I know, I'm sorry, Peter. I don't want to bring it up.
No, I'm just messing with you.
So
I talked to Peter about this before. Recorded too, I think. And I know it's... the way we were raised is like Jesus is kind of sitting at the table with us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't talk crap about stuff or make fun of it.
No, but this movie didn't really bash it like that. It's just a difference of opinion.
I think it bashes it. I don't think the movie bashes. I think a person in the movie... I'm sorry for fucking your thing up, Chris. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. You know, like what you were saying, like it's... it does, you know, make you question, like, whether... So I've posed this question to myself, like, a lot of a few times, and it's kind of hard to like really understand how to come up with the question, but it's basically like, if God can't be all powerful and all good. And if he is all good, then he can't be all powerful. And if he's all like powerful, then he can't be all good. And a lot of people ask this question, you know, maybe in different ways. It's hard to, because a lot of people, especially when I talk to, you know, somebody that's like maybe an atheist or like, or even like agnostic, you know, they'll say, you know, shit like, you know, there's so much death and destruction and evil, hatred. There's a lot of this bad shit in the world. And so they ask themselves, like, well, why does, if God is all powerful, you know, why does he allow that? And, you know, for me, I pondered that a lot, you know, especially in my early 20s, you know, because when I became an adult, I finally realized that I was an adult and I could make decisions for myself, as opposed to when I was a kid, I was told what to do and what to believe in, you know? And coming into my adulthood, I wanted to learn more about religion and God and all that. And so I think, I don't know, it's hard to ask these questions, you know, especially, you know, I hate to say it, you know, because certain people are very religious, you know, and a lot of people, especially nowadays, like they'll question somebody's like ability to, you know, I don't even know how to ask the question, you know, like they'll say like people must be like ignorant or like dumb, maybe, like if they do believe in a religion, you know, because it's hard talking about it, you know, because religion is a touchy subject. And, you know, 85 or 90% of the world, you know, believes in a higher power, you know. Yeah. And I don't want to step on any toes, you know, because everybody should be allowed to believe in what they believe. And, you know, maybe there is room for a God in this world, you know, because I don't know if I should switch gears, you know, because it's what I believe is not really doesn't align with a lot of people and their religion, you know, and I just don't want to insult anybody, you know.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's your own thoughts, you know, Chris, and we're not converting you on this episode. I think it's a different one.
Yeah.
No, like your thoughts or you know, or your own thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
And it has no offense to me and David, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things in this movie, I was telling Peter, the main actor, or not the main actor, the guy that wrote the book, Amadeus. He's angry because he knows he's going to die of a brain aneurysm, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. How does he know that? I don't think people generally know that's going to happen.
I think, I don't know, but that's a line from the sister that how can you live with that knowing that you can die at any moment?
No, right? I think after that happened, she was scared because it did happen to him.
No.
People die of aneurysms. People die of aneurysms all the time.
I don't know anything about brain aneurysms, but the way that I've watched this movie a ton of times and the way that she said it was like that he knew that he can die at any moment. And I don't know, there's just the way that she says, like, how can you go through life living like that, knowing that you can die at any moment?
Well, yeah, I got it.
I have no idea how brain aneurysms work or if that's possible or not, but the way that she's portraying it in the movie is that he knew that he was going to die.
Well, I thought it was like it happened to him. And she was asking Jeremy Irons' character, like, that happened. Like, how could we move on knowing that could happen to any of us? But you might be right, though.
And that's another, like, you know, subject that really, like, they tried to drive home, you know, that, like, death or, like, eternal life, like after death, you know, is, it could be viewed, you know, for a lot of people, it's like, it's great, you know, like eternal bliss, or like, you know, being back with your loved ones, or, you know, just embracing something like, or knowing that there is something after you die. And for Amadeo, like, he didn't believe any of that, you know, and he almost like loved the idea of death because it brought meaning to him. And I don't know, like, do you think like people, like, I don't know, like, I kind of question, like, if like religious people, like, you know, they're just kind of sitting around waiting so they can enjoy like retirement, you know, quote unquote, like after you die, or if they're really, you know, just scared to die, you know, or they, well, like,
what did you think, Chris, when you know, 10 years ago, how did you view it?
Like, years ago, I did fear death, you know, like, I really wanted to believe that there was an afterlife, you know, and that there was, you know, something waiting for me, like, after I die, you know. And now I almost wish that I was already dead. Just, you know, it sounds really peaceful, you know, because like, you know, you don't have to, like, there is no more struggle, you know, there is no more sadness, you know, there is no more like depression, there, you know, there is no more hatred you have to deal with, there's no more like jealousy, there's no more all these you know, stuff that you experience, you know, in life that you have to struggle with on a daily basis, you know, you don't have to deal with that anymore, you know. And it almost feels, you know, like a relief, you know, to like have, you know, to be dead, you know. But you know, that's me right now. Like, that could change, like, you know, tomorrow, or like 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, you know. Like, I used to believe that God would like embrace me like after death. And I'm not saying that I'm an atheist now, and that I don't believe in like, you know, a higher power, or like, you know, an entity or something like that's beyond our understanding of how the world works, you know. But yeah, I don't know like what to really believe or expect, you know, for the afterlife or death, you know. I don't know how you guys view it.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was talking to a family member of mine who's incarcerated. And I was just like, well, are you having fun in there? You know what I mean? And he's like, he's like, no. And he's like, well, you got like all this free time. Are you chilling out? Are you relaxing? Did you make any friends? You know what I mean? And he was just, he thought I was messing with him. But I was like, nah, dude, like, I got to bust my ass out here. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be nice for someone to feed me and just chill out. But it sounds kind of fucked up now that I'm saying it out loud. But
yeah.
But yeah, I could see like just the taking the break, you know what I mean, and everything that. And like there was a point in my life, just jumping back to the movie, I remember when I was a kid and someone was describing to me what heaven was, and they're like you can do this, like you can do whatever you wanted to do forever and ever and ever and ever. And it scared the shit out of me. I couldn't go to sleep that night. You know what I mean? Because just the thought of that was terrifying. And we'll never know what's gonna happen after our heart stops beating. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm at my point in life. I'm at like in this movie. It's crazy because it talks. There's another line where it says something like, "What happens if you?" Your life didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to be, and then you find yourself with a life that you don't know how to finish living, you know. But I gotta say, I'm pretty at peace with everything. Like, my life has not gone the way that I thought it would at all, but I kind of just try to make the best of it at this point, and I'm pretty happy with a lot of things, and there's things that I wish I could change or wish that didn't happen, but
yeah,
I'm pretty thankful for a lot of the stuff that has happened. And I joke around a lot.
Do you guys ever like think about like you know, and I know time travel doesn't have nothing to do with this movie, but there is like a line in the movie where it says like you know, something to the effect of you know, when you travel to a place, you leave a part of yourself there, you know, and when you go back to that place, you can experience like what you felt or like what you did or all that, you know.
Yeah, I've done that. Have you done
that?
Yeah. You go back to a place that you grew up at, or
it's really weird because doing my job, I go all over the city all the time, like every day, you know. And sometimes I go back to the place where I kind of, you know, not technically, but where like I feel like I grew up, which was like South Phoenix, you know. And it feels weird, you know, because it's so different. It's so new now that it almost feels like a lifetime ago, you know, like it feels like a different world. Like I can't really like put myself back in that place because it is so different. And so I don't know, like it's just that line, like it just, maybe it hits, you know, different for some people, you know. And the way I want to go forward now in my life, I don't really care about going to places I've been before. Like, I want to try going to new places, you know, and I guess make new memories, you know. So
yeah,
I don't know, like a lot of people say like they wish they could change something from the past, you know, or like they have regrets, you know, in life. I don't know, I do have like a lot of regrets in my life, and you can't really do anything about it. But so it's kind of hard, you know, to kind of, at least for me, you know, to like let go of the regrets, you know, when, because it's natural to just like think about them like all the time, you know. But yeah, like you know, there's a whole lot of like of these like, you know, like philosophical questions that are posed in the movie. I think it's a good thing, you know, to like reflect and like you know, kind of think about like these things in life. But I don't know, I feel like if you spend your life like, or spend your time thinking about life instead of like actually going out and living your life, you know, that's probably not how you should spend your time or your life, you know, doing that, you know. So
yeah, for sure.
So yeah. But that's basically my deep dive.
Okay, David, what do you got? All right, I'll jump in real quick. I think almost the whole movie is just beautiful to see visually. It's beautiful. I don't agree with a lot of Amadeo's philosophy, because he's kind of just like a kid, you know, and kind of like a kid that probably thinks he knows everything. But I do like enjoy listening to other people's perspective, especially about things that I deeply care about, you know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. He kind of shits over a lot of stuff very disrespectfully, but like, which I, like at the time, if I was sitting at a church, I'd be like, dude, come on, like, we're in a church, man. You know what I mean? But it is interesting listening to what other people have to say that disagree with me completely about things, about anything, not just religion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like talking to people that like Chevys, even though I'm a Ford guy. All right. I don't know. There's lots of movies that I like where someone has like a midlife crisis and they change something or do something different. I was going to put up Groundhog Day also.
I hate Bill Murray, though.
Have you seen the movie at all?
Yeah.
I kind of think all of our lives are kind of Groundhog Day. It's just the same repetitive thing over and over again. And whether you can change that or not, he kind of decides to make the best of it, of the same day, to have a great same day. That theme is a movie that I always come back to when I see it. I enjoy those where someone changes themselves, you know? Let me see what else I got. Oh, it seems insane to me. This guy can just jump on a train and then end up in a different country, you know, which is sounds amazing and awesome. I like this movie, like I said, half of because of just the traveling and the different places, and it just looks awesome. It's a beautiful movie. Big problem I have with is like what kind of they could these two younger men, Amadeo and George, they could not have been that great of a friends if Amadeo is going to go and sleep with his girlfriend, elope with her, you know? And that's a big problem that I've always had with the movie is how great of brothers could these people have been? You know what I mean? Like, does it happen? Sure. But that's a problem. I was like, I couldn't do that to anyone, let alone a beloved friend, right?
Yeah.
But
it's really common though. Like, I picked up a customer just yesterday. I know it's not the same, but so I picked up this girl and she was like, she's like telling me like basically her friend is sleeping with her ex.
And oh, yeah, but it's an ex though, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, even though they're your ex, you know, they were still like somebody important in your life. Like, you don't, I don't know. Like, it's almost the same thing, you know? Like,
I could see someone getting really hurt from it, but from like me hooking up with one of your guys' spouses and running away, like at least, I don't know. That seems about the worst thing you can do to somebody. You know, to me at least.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems doesn't seem like obviously that friendship he just shit all over it. Like,
well,
they couldn't have been that good of a friend.
Since you're on the topic, I forgot something from a deep dive, but like that's what Jeremy Irons' character is like desiring. He's like they really lived.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I was why is he
fantasizing?
Yeah, and during a revolution where people were dying and getting crippled and stuff like that. Like, I don't even know why he's desiring it.
That's what she
says.
That's what she responds pretty much that, though, right? It was like they consumed them and they went down burning in flames.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was the choices they made that he was more infatuated that they had an exciting life, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Right. What else
about Amadeo was a train wreck. Amadeo, I don't admire him, but some of the things, a lot of the things, the quotes from the book that he supposedly wrote, we already know to be true, but they're more profound when they're said, they're spoken in a way that we haven't heard before, which are true about most things, I guess.
But, yeah.
That's all I got. So do you guys want to jump into the rating real quick before we sign off? Because I think we're getting pretty long.
Yeah, I got to go like in a few minutes.
All right. Yeah. I think Peter's going to be lowest, so we'll go with Peter.
Yeah, I'll give it a 6.5.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing. I guess I didn't say already.
Okay. Chris?
Surprisingly, I actually gave it a lower rating.
A lower rating than 6.5?
Yeah, I gave it a 6 even.
Damn.
And I don't know. Maybe our rating systems, you know, feel different, you know, to each of us. But that's not a bad movie. But it was. The only thing I liked about him was like the philosophical like questions about the about life and everything, you know, and everything else seemed, and even like the questions themselves, like throughout the movie, like they seemed a little bit muddied because there is so much into the movie. Like you got like family, you got love, you got God, you got religion, you know, you got war or like fascism, you know, you got like conspiracies, you got like there's like so much to the movie, you know, like they could have just like focused on like a couple things instead of like everything, you know. So okay. Yeah,
I'm glad you had something good to say about it at some point.
Yeah,
all right, that's cool. I'll give it, I've watched this a lot of times, but I'm gonna go with like an 8. I'm not gonna go below an 8 because I enjoy the heck out of it a lot. I watch it a ton. But there's parts of it that I skip, I gotta say, for sure. And I don't know. Maybe I bump it up higher if it wasn't such a melodrama or something. I don't know. But I don't hate the dumb kids just being train wrecks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so that was our movie review of Night Train to Lisbon. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Good night.
Bye.